I'm here with Jimmy Matlos, who is a Panada board member and a cinematographer for the upcoming February 5th movie, Fear, which is a fundraiser for the Panada. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's quite an opportunity, actually. I watched the trailer for the movie Fear, by the way, and wow, what a thriller, right?
Yeah, and it was more fun to make than you can imagine.
We'll get into that. But before we get into those details about the film, which is amazing, tell us a little bit about yourself, your involvement in the movie industry, and then, of course, you're a board member and things like that. Who are you?
Who am I? Ever defining, right? Well, I was born and raised in New Jersey, so it's not my fault that I wasn't born and raised in Idaho. I moved to California after I graduated college in media studies and started working in the film industry in visual effects and then commercials, and worked my way up through the ranks of the camera department to become a cinematographer, shooting a lot of commercials, documentaries, working on feature films, and anything that looked interesting or fun to be involved with. And in 2019, I was tapped by a friend of mine producing the feature film Fear. And it was funny because he called me on New Year's Eve. And he said, "What are you doing next month?" And my response was, "I guess I'm working for you. What are we doing?" He said, "We're making a movie." Yeah.
Okay. So. And you joined the board, the Panada board. So what brought you to that? And how long have you been in North Idaho?
Moved up here with my kids in 2009, and I've been basically a very active, proactive part-time resident, leaving mostly for work, anywhere in the world and anywhere I get a call from. And I joined the Panada board in October of this year, or October of last year, 2021, by the urging of some friends. And the reason I got involved, and I've got involved with a couple of nonprofits in town, and the Panada was one of them I was steered towards, was when I started the Idaho Film Company in 2020. I established ourselves with the goal of making feature films and video and film projects in the North Idaho area.
So we're going to get into the Idaho Film Company a little bit down the line, but... So you have a strong background in film, and the Panada seemed probably like a pretty good fit since it's a visual arts nonprofit in our community that brings...
I'm sorry about the cough.
That's okay. We've all got...
I'm step away for 1 second and get a good cough and then come back.
Right.
Hopefully that cleared me.
There you go. So... As I was saying, so what have you seen on the Panada board so far? I mean, you join a board, and how is that sitting on the board of the Panada right now?
For me, it's interesting. In the past, I had been a board chairman for a film festival, which I am still the chairman of, and that festival premieres in Los Angeles and then does a tour throughout the country. So it's been interesting coming from being a chairman who is, and I apologize for the cough again, it's not COVID.
It's okay.
Being a chairman is interesting because you basically come up with ideas and concepts and implement them and tell other people to do them. Being a board member, you have to be more sort of listening to the room and interacting with everyone and being a proactive member of a group with a greater cause. And something like the Panada coming up to on 100 years is an amazing cause to be involved with.
Well, congratulations, and thank you for supporting our community by being a board member. It's a big job. And as you say, it's collaborative work, and listening is a big part of it.
It is, certainly. And I encourage, I mean, for me, I never thought I would be a board member of anything. It's just, you know, the younger me says, nope. The current me says, this is an amazing learning opportunity that I can take with me and apply to so many aspects of my life.
I guarantee that will be true as you keep sitting on the board with the Panada. So much of it, collaborative work is very fulfilling and takes a lot of time, but it's worthwhile. So let's work over to your background in the film industry. How long, so you said you coming out of college actually got involved in various aspects of filming, but how long have you been in the film industry and how has it changed recently? I'm sure it's changed quite a bit lately.
Yeah, so when I got out of college, I had to start at the bottom of the ladder and started out as a production assistant in visual effects, which meant everything from, and this is back in the film days, understand. So we would shoot film all day and then I would get the film handed to me and then I would take it to the laboratory and drop it off. And that was one of my many jobs. And I mean, how it's changed from that point forward is, you know, on a technical level, obviously everything's more accessible. You can buy a camera at Best Buy that's almost as good as one that they use to shoot the latest Star Wars movie. And depending upon how you use it, you could probably make it look just as good. All the tools to edit and everything are all accessible. Many of them are free. So, you know, back in the, let's say 90s, what it would cost you just to make a short film could be upwards of, you know, anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000. Whereas now I made a film in 2020 because I refused to come out of the pandemic with one. And I made it for $300 and finished it in 4K with a 5.1 sound mix.
So there's more to than to making a good film, something that's, you know, first release kind of film. But as you say, you can do it with very little equipment. It's so interesting.
Yeah. And you know, with that comes more probably bad product, but potentially the plus side of that is you wind up with people that would not normally have access to that amount of money or that kind of equipment who could actually make groundbreaking films.
Magic, in other words, can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
By accident even. So let's talk a little bit about, so you've been in the industry, you want to toot your horn at all and say some of the movies that you've been working on that are well known maybe?
We can go way back in time to the very first feature film credit I ever got, which was a movie called Suburban Commando, which had Hulk Hogan in it. And shortly after, I think my second credit was Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, which was a Disney sequel to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. From there, I worked on Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, which was a pivotal point in my career. Creatively, connections-wise, the cinematographer I worked with, Pete Kozacek, is still a good friend of mine and just an amazing inspiration on a daily basis. From there, I got more into commercials. And I became a high-speed camera technician, which managed to get me on some of the biggest budget commercials you could be on, working with the biggest name directors in commercials and traveling around the world. At the same time then, I started to get into IMAX films and started to assist and work in IMAX film, which once again took me all over the world. And I worked on Michael Jordan to the Max was probably the biggest one I worked on, but the most memorable for me was Alaska, The Call of the Wild, which was an IMAX film. There were some others in between that honestly, I can't remember.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
I have some milestones in my own personal career, being the first person to ever shoot a stop motion animated film or a short film in capturing it on digital with a digital SLR camera and projecting it in film. And that film was called Oedipus, which premiered at Sundance, I think it was 2002. I'm the first person that ever shot a student IMAX film in film, 65 millimeter film, and that was The Princess and the Pea. I was the first person to ever shoot LeBron James doing a slam dunk at 1,000 frames per second, which was an homage to an old Michael Jordan commercial that aired, I believe, in the late 80s, early 90s.
For Nike, probably.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Right. So I've had a few really, really cool milestones, and I continue to strive for more and more. You know, the ultimate goal has always been to make and to make movies, to be involved in them, to work as a cinematographer shooting them. And maybe some, one day I would direct one or two movies. And as it turns out, the path you lay is not always the path that you take. And I realized a few years ago that if I'm going to make some movies, that maybe I need to write them on my own and produce them on my own. And while I was through that process, that's when I got pulled in to shoot Fear, which was done on a very tight budget, smaller than one might imagine. And it opened my eyes to possibilities of how you can produce a film, pay everyone well, take care of them, work shorter hours, and make a great film.
Just let our listeners know that I'm speaking with Matt Laus. He's the cinematographer on the upcoming movie Fear, which will be playing at the Panada on February 5th. It is a fundraiser for the Panada, thanks to your donation of the movie. And we're just talking about film and the industry, but now let's talk about the movie Fear. And like I said in the beginning, I watched the trailer and wow, it's a thriller, I think, unless I'm wrong. Tell us about the film. How would you describe it? Yeah.
So Fear could be best described as sort of a different version or a different take of a movie called A Quiet Place. And now there's two of those out there. So it's a family struggling to survive a bad situation. In this case, it's a pandemic. And the film was written in early 2018. And it was a family struggling to survive the pandemic and running away to a cooler climate with less people to survive that. It's the dynamic of the family that really is, to me, the story in the film. Yeah, there's people that seem like they're zombie-like, and then of course there's desperate people trying to steal food and supplies any way they can, and of course the things you have to confront in that situation. So it's a much more desperate version of what we've all experienced in the last 2 years.
It's interesting that it was written in 2018, prior to the pandemic.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's really interesting because here we are where, you know, I wouldn't say that we're in the kind of place where it's so desperate, but there's a lot of similarities to people's fear and uncertainty and, you know, misinformation, things like that. So how was it working on this film?
It was a dream situation, sort of applied everything that I had spent the last 20 something years learning and applying it in such an instantaneous way with a very easy flow and a great group of people to collaborate with. I was given a tremendous amount of freedom in how I use my lights, different techniques for filming, gained confidence from the directors and the producers right away with the application of the techniques. Our first day on set, it was a blizzard. it gave me this opportunity. In fact, the night before it was snowing like crazy. And they asked me if I wanted to change anything, if I wanted to maybe shoot inside that day instead of, we were shooting in a barn. So we were a little bit inside, a little bit outside. And my feeling was no, why would we do that? Because I can't afford to buy a snowstorm and let's just see what happens. And doing that set the precedence for the rest of the film that this ragtag group of filmmakers who none of which I had really worked with before could do anything and accomplish it well. And it laid the groundwork to make the film that much more professional and that much more fun.
Oh, there you go. How would you, it's about the kind of a family dealing with a situation, in this case, a pandemic, and mostly outdoors. And you mentioned when we were off the air that it was very cold filming because it was filmed in the Northwest, correct? And a snowstorm. Oh.
It was actually filmed 2 hours north of Los Angeles.
Oh.
Up in the mountains.
Okay.
And it looks like the Pacific Northwest. And interestingly enough, the script was written about a family escaping to the Pacific Northwest, which arguably I did 10 years earlier. And then, of course, we saw during the 2020-21 pandemic, we saw the population of Sandpoint boom. So there were parallels there that I found interesting prior to filming and then, of course, after filming.
So would you say that this is a film for families and kids, or is it more adult?
It would be rated PG-13 if we put a rating on it. There is some language, of course, and violence.
Okay. So that is, again, playing at the Panada on February 5th. It's a fundraiser for the Panada. Thank you to your generous donation. And it's there. The Panada can use your help. So now let's move on to the Idaho Film Company, which you have established here. Tell us a little bit about that, what it's for and what you're doing.
Well, I never thought I would have to, or I never thought I would start my own production company. I always thought that was somebody else's job. And I think those of us who get, as we age, we do things again and again that we never thought we'd do. And it sounds like a cool idea. We grab it by both hands and go for it. And ever since first coming up to North Idaho, which was actually back in the late 90s, I had always thought, man, what a magical place to make films. What a stunning, beautiful place. And as I've grown and matured and been here longer, my concept came to, okay, I want to make films here, but I want to have the least amount of environmental impact and the greatest amount of economic impact. And that comes down to film. When filmmaking gets done, like if we spend, let's pick a number, $200,000 in Sandpoint to make a movie, arguably 2/3 of what we spend will be spent in town between labor, trips to stores, restaurants, hotels, bars, coffee shops, all that sort of stuff. So what we stand to do is bring employment and have a positive economic impact on the community. And once again, have the least amount of environmental impact by being very aware of what we do, getting involved in cleaning up some things around town. And I even started a little concept, which was my each person on the crew would go out and have to clean up the lakefront and show me how much they cleaned up. And I could give them a gift certificate for a certain restaurant or coffee shop or whatever as a return. You know, it's one of those things, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have considered all these different avenues and concepts in starting a company. A lot of times, I'm sure people think about the bottom line. And yes, the bottom line is a focus, but it's all the other parts of it that I think make the sum of the, you know, the sum of the whole, right?
Right. Integrating more than just the bottom line.
Yeah. And part of this, of course, me establishing that was getting involved in other nonprofits like the Panada. Waterkeeper is another nonprofit I'm involved with. And then POP, which is our local cycling group, which I'm involved with. And I chose three because beyond that, I would get I would run short on time and money and everything else. And those are three organizations that I feel very passionate about to lend my expertise, my knowledge, and my time to.
Well, just so you know, KRFY is a nonprofit, and you have a good radio voice, by the way. So you can always have a fallback or another option if the time ever comes. Radio is fun. You just don't, it's not visual. That's the only difference, really.
Still what you're saying, I have a face for radio is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, there's a little bit about the Idaho Film Company. And just in that same thoughts, are there any movies in the future going to film here in Sandpoint that you know of, that you're willing to talk about?
Yes. So on the burner right now, I have a screenplay that I've written. The working title is Lycanthropy, which is The Curse of the Werewolf. And it's not a horror film by classic horror film standards, but I wanted to tap into that market slightly and tell a story that delves into potentially race issues and class issues and preconceived notion issues. And where we're at now is myself and my partner, Mitch Fullerton, we threw out a date of September 15th with the plan of meeting with potential investors to raise the funds, because if we give them a date that may inspire them more to think about investing in the film and the production company to make the film here. So it's a two-pronged approach on that. And then there's, I have three or four other screenplays that I've written that I continue to edit and work on to develop to be shot up here as well.
So that's what's on the back burner, moving towards the front of the stove. Okay, sounds good. Anything else you'd like to say before we say goodbye?
One of the things I'm hoping to do is be very involved with the community. Like I said, I obviously am involved in the nonprofits, but also involved in so much as maybe someone can learn from my experience of going through this process of becoming incorporated, starting a company, starting working on fundraising, working on community outreach. And I'd like to be a role model for some people thinking about doing that. Many times for outsiders, businesses are sort of a scary monster that no one ever knows anything about. They just sort of operate. And if I go back to what my dad's philosophy was, everyone that's in business is a millionaire. And if you say that to any business owner, they laugh pretty loud. But hopefully I can inspire a few people in town to work with us, the Idaho Film Company, or start their own business. And we could be a mentor and work with them, because we are grassroots. We are starting right at the base level right now. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really exciting.
Well, that always is. Just a little thought is the high school. They want to have innovative ways of bringing other ideas to high school students than just, you know, going through college, which is a good thing, but that they're, you know, getting a taste of a business plan or how to go about things that you just discussed is a good thing for students to learn. So the high school may be a place where you could do that inspiring and bringing direct information to students would be fun.
Yeah, that is actually a big focus of the Idaho Film Company, but also working with the Panada on the Panada board. We've brought up the idea of bringing in interns. In the past, there were interns that worked on the Panada board, and we're hoping to find one or two students in town that would be interested in learning how a board works, how a nonprofit works, because that can be applied to a Fortune 500 company too. And to learn those little tricks and nuances and little just to learn that information at such a young age can just change someone's life. And we are in a town where there are a handful of people that, you know, it's just not in the cards to go to a four-year college.
It's not really the best way to use their interest and talents. And if there's other options, fantastic, because otherwise they have nothing. So good job. Welcome to the Panada board, and thank you for your service there. And I guess that's it. We'll look forward to the movie at the Panada, Fear, F-E-A-R, February 5th. It is a fundraiser for the Panada, and you can go to panada.org and find out more about that. Thank you so much, Jimmy. Matt, say your last name for me. I know I'm saying it wrong.
It's Matt Lose. And if I might add at the end, you know, we are always looking for people to inquire about the board at the Panada.
There you go.
If you're interested in joining, we're looking for young blood, new blood, old blood, just people who have a passion for getting involved in the community. And we will embrace you with open arms, and it's not that scary.
There you go. Good pitch there. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and for being on KRFY, our community radio station.
Thank you, Susie.
You're welcome.